Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
And a good Saturday morning to you. Get those lawn and garden questions ready for Julie Weisenhorn and our turf expert John Trappi from the University of Minnesota. Good morning to the both of you.
Hey, hey, Danny, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Hope you are, Julie and John.
Good morning.
Good morning, John. I think I heard my lawn and shrubs have a big sigh of relief over the last. I swear I heard it. But things are really looking good, and I want to alert our listeners, Julie, as you know, John visits us from time to time. John is, again, our turf expert from the U, and if you have any kind of a lawn question, any kind of a turf question, this is your day today, and Julie, of course, here to answer all the other questions as well. So, and with that in mind, we are, in fact, we're already getting busy with a bunch of text messages. So a call or text, 651-461-9226. Julie, I wanted to ask John something I noticed with all this rain here in our yard. I thought much of my front yard was a lost cause. And I mentioned it to my wife. I thought, you know what? This stuff has come back. I mean, this has got to be pretty tough grass.
Yeah, it's, you know, many turf grasses or most turf grasses that we grow in our lawns tend to go dormant when they're stressed, especially for drought or heat or things like that. So, you know, getting these cooler evening temperatures and then, you know, getting these really big rain gushers are great for, you know, allowing them to recover and you know, come back from the dormancy.
It was nice, too, that the rain was pretty steady all day. It wasn't, you know, we didn't get all of it in an hour, which has been
exactly
what we've been getting in the past. No,
that was right, a perfect pace. I just want to alert our neighbors. I still have work to do. I know you don't have to remind me. But in the meantime, we accept and would welcome your phone calls if you'd like to call and chat with Julie or John, or send a text like some folks prefer to do, 651-461-9226. Julie, what else can we do? Maybe I should just ask you, what are you doing with your garden these days?
Well, once it dries out, I'm going to be planting bulbs, and this is a good time of year to do any kind of those spring bulbs like tulips, daffodils, crocus, muscari, all of these great bulbs that come up early in the spring. And also looking at planting garlic. So I have a whole bunch of garlic that I'm going to be planting as well. And you just break the cloves off of the bulb of garlic, and then each of those becomes a garlic plant for next year. So you can plant up until, probably after a frost even. So this is a great time to do that.
Excellent. John, I know we're going to get these questions. We already got a bunch of questions about lawns,
great.
John. But you know what? Let's do this. I see Phyllis has just called in from Star Prairie. Maybe we could find out what Phyllis has on her mind. Thanks for calling, Phyllis. What is your question?
Good morning. I have two different kinds of shrubs, plenty of them. One is the spirea type, and the other is alpine. In the fall, I've always cut my spirea down real close to the ground, and it's been successful coming back. The alpine, I've been kind of reading, and you don't cut those back in the fall?
You're talking probably about an alpine currant. Does that sound familiar? Okay. So those you do not, those are more of a foliage plant. They have some small, kind of insignificant flowers, but those are, you would just prune those as you would to shape them. So you don't necessarily cut them completely down. The only time you would is if that plant has become really overgrown or oddly shaped or something. But you really can just prune those probably in the spring before the leaves open up. You could probably do a good, just kind of a shaping of that plant.
Okay. John, here's one. Texter says, if I had my lawn aerated this past week, would this still be a good time to seed my lawn?
Yeah, that's a great question, because from a timing standpoint, I think you'd almost be better off waiting a few weeks until the soil temperatures actually get cooler, and it would effectively turn into a dormant seeding. And what that means is you're basically seeding and counting on the seed to be worked down into the soil with the freeze-thaw cycle, and it would germinate and emerge next spring, sometime in mid to late May. So it's kind of a great strategy for doing that, even if you didn't aerate or if you're just trying to improve your lawn over time. That's a really great strategy for, you know, minimal inputs, not having to work the soil or really anything. You just allow that freeze-thaw cycle and then snow and rain over the winter to get the seed down into the soil.
Yeah, that one that question has been on my mind as well. And I thought that was going to be your answer. This listener says, I planted a double knockout rose and pink aster this spring. I also have a small strawberry patch. Can I use leaves for winter mulch, or do I need to find straw, and when should mulch be put down?
Leaves are great. They're a readily available material that's on probably everybody's lawns, and you can rake those up and use those to mulch your plants, so mulching the strawberries. Around the rose, probably one of the easiest ways to do that is to actually create a fence around it. This will protect it from animal browsing, but then pack that fence full of leaves. So create that ring. I like to use hardware cloth, and I would make it a 4-foot hardware cloth ring, just because we had so much snow last year. We might not this year, but I know a lot of people called in last, over the winter and later this spring, with animal browsing because their fences weren't tall enough for all that snow we had. So 4 feet is a good height. It looks kind of wanky, you know, until it starts to snow. It's real tall. And then pack it full. 4 feet is a good height. It looks kind of wanky, you know, until it starts to snow. It's real tall. And then pack it full of leaves.
Okay. Texter says, John, when should we stop mowing? Well, if it rains anymore, I think we'll be doing this for a while.
Maybe. It really just depends on how much more, warmer days that we get. So I would just say mow as needed. And if you are going to be mowing, I would just continue to mulch the leaf clippings and return them. And the same thing's true with the tree leaves. Just try to do that as much as possible. Save yourself some work from having to pick up leaves and just mulch them and get some fertilizer benefit from those tree leaves into your lawn. So really just try to do that as much as possible. Eventually, you know, we might get to a point where you get too many tree leaves and it's worth picking them up. But I would just mow as needed. Some folks, you know, are questioning whether or not they should lower their mowing height going into the winter. I think you can gradually lower it down, but I wouldn't lower it too much. You know, down to 2.5 inches or so would probably be just fine.
Okay.
Hey, John, I have a question for you.
Sure.
At what temperature does our grass stop growing, cold-wise, not heat?
So you can actually get a little bit of growth even down into the 40s, the high 40s. So it's really, you know, it really just kind of depends. Some cool season grasses can grow all the way down to freezing temperatures, but most of the turf grasses that we have growing, they typically start shutting down in the mid to high 40s.
So it looks like I'm looking at the weather forecasts for the next 10 days, and it looks like we're going to have 50s through the next week and a half. So our grass is technically going to still be growing, thinking about mowing?
Yeah, soil temperatures determine everything, okay. Not necessarily the air temperatures. And so far, we've had still pretty warm soil temperatures. So I suspect that it's going to be, you know, we still have another 2 weeks of growth.
Got it.
Very good.
Thank you.
Texter says this, then we'll take a quick break. Good morning. I'd like to winter my manavilla under a grow light. Do you think one bulb would be enough?
Depends how big that plant is. I was just looking at my friend Gary's manavilla last night or at a houseplant clinic, and it was huge. And you would need a very, you know, much larger than, you know, more than just one bulb. So you can buy different kinds of grow lights, too. You can buy large rectangular grow lights that will cover more plant material. So it really depends on how big that plant is now.
Okay. Hang on, Julie and John. We'll take a quick break. Be right back. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, this is your day, 651-461-461. 9226. Here in the Twin Cities, we do have currently 46 degrees. We should hit about 54 today. Come to Monday, we'll hit 56. Tuesday, 61. Wednesday, near 63. Right now, 46 here on News Talk 830 WCC. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday on CCO in the 8 o'clock hour, welcoming your lawn and garden questions this morning for Julie Weisenhorn and John Trappi from the University of Minnesota. I know we have callers, we have texters, Julie and John, but we always like to mention, and for good reason, the Arboretum. What's going on, Julie, at the Arb?
Yeah, it's amazing. Well, certainly the colors are fantastic and the trees are looking beautiful. But we also have a newly expanded apple house. So if you've never visited the apple house, it's a great place to get your squash, your gourds, your pumpkins, and, of course, your University of Minnesota apples. We have the North Star food truck back again with North Star donuts, which are delicious and dangerous, also cider and coffee. And we have great scarecrow displays. And this is exciting. But it's also a bit terrifying, but the winter lights tickets are already on sale. So you can be sure to save your or reserve your tickets as soon as possible for winter lights.
Now, for those who want to get out there, maybe never been out there, you have to arrange it online, right?
That's right. Yes, you want to visit arb.umn.edu. And go ahead and put in your reservations and get the tickets for the date and time that you would like to visit. And that's the case for any visit, but be sure to get your winter lights tickets because they sell out really quickly.
And I always like to ask you when you're on, Julie, are the Abiders, you guys, playing at all anywhere?
Well, thanks for asking. I appreciate that. Yeah, so we are playing tonight at a new place for us called Jay's Down Under. It is in Buffalo, Minnesota. So we start at 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. I heard John Trappi's going to be playing bongos. Is that true?
I keep wanting to get him out to hear us, but that's a long drive for John.
Well, you got
to
do it, John. They're a lot of fun to listen to. All right. Let's get back to business here. When is it okay to trim the lower branches on my blue spruce trees?
Well, you can trim those anytime. You could go ahead and do that now. And you could use those branches actually to protect some of your plants over the winter. Just lay them on top of the plants.
Okay. Let's grab a phone call. I do believe Monica is on the horn calling in this morning from Bloomington. Thanks, Monica. What is your question?
Good morning. My question is for John. We have a company, they kind of come through the neighborhood, they did construction, they cut through people's lawns. They did have a company reseed it, and they put a very lightweight mat that was intertwined with what looks to me like very fine either nylon or a plastic kind of mesh. And the grass around that, of course, is quite long now. So I'm wondering, is that going to get caught up in the lawnmower? Should we pull that netting up the plastic or nylon?
That is a great question. And it would really just depend on the type of material that they used for the germination or erosion control blanket that they put down. Most of them are meant to be permanent, where they are intended to just allow the grass to grow up through, and then they just naturally break down over time. But some of them are a little bit more resilient than others and resistant to break down. So I would just say cautiously try to mow, as needed. And if you can, try to do it when it's dry. I would just basically pay attention as you're mowing and just make sure that it's not getting pulled up through it. And if it is, I would just try to let it grow out a little bit more and allow the seedlings to grow through and kind of hold in that mat a little bit better. If it is starting to pull up, it might be just a little bit too early to mow.
Okay. This listener says this, can I compost black walnut tree leaves? Will the jugalone break down so I can use the compost in my garden?
I would probably say compost those leaves at a municipal compost site, only because our compost piles in our homes and on our home landscapes don't usually get hot enough to destroy things like some of our pathogens, weed seeds, and also sometimes the juglone. So I would hesitate to use black walnut leaves on anything. I think I would bag them and haul them where they can really get heated up and break down sufficiently to a municipal site.
This listener wants to know, why so few Japanese beetles this year?
Well, insects have population kind of rise and falls, and so this year it was just a more off year. I don't know, John, you and I have kind of theorized that maybe it was the two summers of pretty dry, hot conditions, and didn't make it quite as, let's say, larvae friendly.
Yeah, I wouldn't, not to be a downer or anything, but I think they're here to stay. So,
yeah.
Take it when we can get it.
Yeah, good. Just be thankful.
If you have a lawn or garden question, 651-461-9226. This texter says, is it too late in the season to spray for weeds, particularly Creeping Charlie?
Right now is actually the best time to use selective broadleaf herbicides in your lawns. And that's really just because the grasses themselves are, you know, under very little stress, and the plants, you know, the other broadleaf plants, they've used up a lot of energy flowering and growing throughout the year. Right now is generally one of the better times, especially for Creeping Charlie and Wild Violet.
Okay. Another lawn question. My lawn, the texture says, very bumpy to walk on. I heard this could be caused by earthworms. Will aeration help this, do you think?
Well, earthworms themselves are actually doing some aerating for you. I wouldn't think that they could replace lawn aeration, but bumpy lawns from earthworms, it's definitely getting to be kind of almost a nuisance, where I'm getting a lot of phone calls or emails about that. I would recommend, if you have a lawn roller that could be attached to, like if you have like a riding lawnmower, they typically fill them up with water. Those can help smooth out that surface. Otherwise, it's really just putting up with, you know, kind of the give and take with earthworms, the good and the bad with them.
I know you've addressed the timing as far as grass seed earlier in the show. This listener asks, is it too late to put grass seed down in bare spots? What do you think about just certain bare spots?
Like I said, I would probably just wait really 2 weeks or so until we get, a really good hard freeze. Generally speaking, that's around the same time that the soil temperatures are below when you're going to get some grass seed germination. But if you really want to be safe, you could wait until the first or second week of November. And then that's what I would do just in case, if we did get any germination and emergence, in the next 2 weeks or so, they might end up winter killing those seedlings. But if you dormant seed it, they won't come up until the spring, and it ends up being just as good, if not even a slightly better establishment.
Right. All right, John and Julie, hang on. We'll take a break for that forecast, and we'll be right back. We have about another half hour of the show to go here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, answering those lawn and garden questions, Julie Weisenhorn and John Trappi, our turf expert from the University of Minnesota, 651-461-9226. That'll get you a phone call or a text question on our lawn and garden show. Speaking of phone calls, Dick is calling in this morning, I believe, from Bloomington. Dick, thank you for waiting. What is your question, please?
Yeah, thanks for your help. I have some shrubs on the north side of my house that have died off. I'm just wondering, is there anything I can plant this time of year that I can keep trimmed to about 4 to 5 feet in height to stay below the level of my windows? What would you suggest for the north side, shady side of my house?
On a north side of the shady portion of the house, even arborvitaes would work in that particular spot. Also, some rhododendrons are typically low growing. They like the northern side of locations. I think we can probably get Julie to address this question a little bit better when she gets back on. I think she may have just been disconnected. So asking the turf guy this type of question is probably out of my wheelhouse.
All right.
We'll circle back to it.
Right. We're going to get that thing, the technical end squared away here with Julie. We still have a lot of many lawn questions. Good morning, Denny and John and Julie. I need to do a lawn restoration. Is it too late to lay sod? In fact, we have two or three other questions about laying sod. And I've heard, John, that you could lay sod. People do that pretty late in the season.
Yeah, that's one of the advantages behind the sod is the fact that you already have a living plant there. So you can lay sod even below freezing soil temperatures. You're probably not going to establish very well, and you might lose some of it. But you can absolutely continue to lay sod into the early winter. It's just understand it might
there
end up drying out.
Oh, we've got Julie back.
Welcome back, Julie.
Yep. Hello.
All right. I'm glad you're back. Should peony plants, another texter says this, be cut down in the fall, or do insects winter in them?
Well, most people like to cut the peonies down because they've got powdery mildew by now. And so you can just cut those back and throw them into your compost bin or take them to a municipal compost site. So, yeah, you can cut them back. I wouldn't worry about insects overwintering in peonies necessarily. It's usually the mulch, the leaf mulch that they want to be overwintering in.
Okay. Can I cut down my endless summer hydrangeas? Last year I had to cut out all the dead sticks in the spring, and arms took a real beating getting in there to cut dead sticks. That comes from a listener.
Yeah, I would actually wait till spring to do that, just because you can better see what branches are alive after the winter, because you might lose some of those over the winter. So just wait till spring and then do some cutting back. And I would encourage you to take a look at our website, extension.umn.edu. Under our trees and shrubs section of Yard and Garden, we have a nice video on how to prune your hydrangeas and when to prune them. So take a look at that, and that will help kind of guide you for your different kinds of hydrangeas.
I know we've had this question once in a while before, but John, this texter says, is regular grass seed all right to use for dormant seeding? What would you consider an all-around good grass seed for dormant or any kind of seeding?
Well, I think, we do have a link on, it's actually not on the Extension webpage just yet, but it's on purchasing grass seed from the University of Minnesota. If you just web search for purchasing grass seed from University of Minnesota, you'd be able to find it probably in the first link. But I think any grass seed will work from a dormant seeding. I would recommend buying pure seed, not something that's coated. I would also recommend planting if you are interested in trying to thicken up some areas. I would plant a mixture of multiple species of grass, so things like Kentucky bluegrass, tall fescue, the fine fescues. I think all of those would be great options for filling in most areas.
All right. Hey, another phone call coming
John,
in. Brad.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Julie.
I was just going to say, how many vendors are on that list? Because that's a really handy list for people looking for good seed vendors.
On that purchasing grass seed webpage, we probably have, it's at least probably 30 or 40 different vendors within the state of Minnesota that we know that sell quality grass seed. And that can be a bit of a challenge, especially if you go to the bigger box stores. A lot of times you're buying something that is, kind of marketed towards just very generally everybody in the Midwest. And so we've selected we know of the retailers that we've put on that list that sell quality seed.
Great.
All right. Good thoughts. Brad is calling in from Wyoming, Minnesota, I do believe, this morning. Thanks, Brad. What is your question?
Yes, thanks for taking my call. Over the last few years, I got quite a large ant issue in my lawn. I've got small little ant mounds that have kind of come up during the summer the last few years, and it makes the lawn pretty rough and pretty bumpy. And when I'm mowing it, I just wonder if there's any suggestions. Or I've tried using some ant killer that I can buy at the convenience store, but it only lasts about a week or two, and then they seem to come back again. So any suggestions would be greatly appreciated.
Yeah, they're one of those issues that once you get them, they're kind of there for a long time. There are a number of insecticides that can work with that. One thing that's, you know, a home remedy that I've seen that's worked is boiling water, is pouring that down into the, down into the colony itself. But that's probably going to be a short-lived remedy, and it might even hurt your turf. There are a number of insecticides that can work that are effective. It really just depends on, which product and how it's used. Typically those are bait insecticides where, you spread them over the surface. They're designed specifically for ants, and they take them down into the colony and, they feed in the colony and then they end up, removing them. So I would look for ant-specific insecticides that are baits because those tend to work really well.
Hey, John, is there anything that, it seems to me that when I've seen ants in lawns, it's usually pretty sandy soil. Is there anything that people can do to maybe, if they start to see anthills, they can amend their soil or do anything to kind of deter them?
Not that I know of. Okay. And I think it's just more of like a sampling bias. Like you just see them where, they tend to be more of a problem in sandier soils, but I'm sure they're pretty much everywhere. Okay. It's just they get to be an issue in those sandy soils. And there's nothing that I know of from an amendment standpoint that would actually work with them.
Okay.
Okay. Texter wants to know, when can I start trimming my birch, maple, and locust trees?
Well, you can prune those now. It should be fine. Birch and maple will bleed in the spring. So if you wait till winter, you might see some sap that seeps out of the wounds. And that's a natural occurrence for those plants. So you can still prune them even later into the winter and into the late winter, too. You'll just see that sap flowing a little bit. But, yeah, you could certainly prune those now.
Okay. Doesn't say what kind of shrub or hedge, but Texter says, I have shrubs and a hedge that was here when we moved in 49 years ago.
Wow.
I've trimmed it off and on, but it's huge. Trees growing in them, in fact. Have someone coming in to cut them down with the hope they will come back in the spring. How short should they be cut down, do you think?
Some of these shrubs, depending on what kind it is, can be cut all the way down to the ground. So, again, it will. I'm glad they're bringing in a professional to do that. It can be a really big job. But also that they should know then how far down to take those plants. Take the opportunity, though, once those plants are cut down, to weed out those weed trees that they mentioned. Make sure those get out of there so that they're not going to just regrow as your shrub hedge regrows.
All right. Should the spirea be trimmed down for the winter, or is it best to leave them for trimming next spring?
It depends on what kind of spirea. So we have spirea that are spring blooming, and they will bloom on new growth. So you can go ahead and you can cut those down. You would cut those down after they bloom in the summer. So once they finished blooming, then you would trim those. If you have summer blooming spirea, you would go ahead and cut those down now. So these are spirea that bloom later in the season.
Here's an interesting question. Can a homeowner use sand on their lawn like a golf course?
So, sand can be a really great technique for if you're trying to like smooth out an area or, if you're trying to level something out, it can be pretty effective. One of the issues with that is a lot of times you might be able to get you might get some grass seed to grow up, or you might get grass to grow up through it. And you might get some drying out of that area. It might dry out a little bit faster, but generally, over most Minnesota soils, top dressing with a sand like that can be an effective way for smoothing it out.
All right. Tell you what, getting a signal, we need to take a quick break, but we'll be back with the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show, 651-461-9226. We need to take a quick break, but we'll be back with the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show, 651-461-9226. Our CCO temperature reading right now, 46 degrees. We hope to hit a high of about 54 today, maybe 55 with partly sunny skies tomorrow. Again on CCO, 46. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Reminder, next hour, Andy Lindis will be joining us, and we'll be answering those home improvement questions for you. Back to the text, Julie. By the way, if you're just joining us, Julie Weisenhorn and John Trappi from the U of M answering those lawn and garden questions this morning. This listener, and maybe we can address dormant seeding maybe in more depth. They tried dormant seeding last year, but the birds feasted on the seeds. Question is, should the seed be covered with something?
Yeah, you know, there's a better option would be to put down some kind of like a germination or emergence blanket, especially if it's a thin area already. You know, if you're dormant seeding into existing vegetation, a lot of times you don't need to have any kind of germination or erosion control blanket, unless it's on a really sloped site. But we generally don't have an issue with that. If you're really worried about birds or turkeys or whatever you've got in your lawn, one thing that you can do is just frost seed. And what that means is it's still the same thing as dormant seeding, but you'd be doing it in early or mid-March, right as the last snow is melting. It's going to effectively work the same way. It's just you're not getting quite as much of that freeze-thaw cycle or rain or snow that's working that seed down into the soil, but it at least restricts the amount that could be, you know, eaten up by birds and other voles and rodents.
Okay. Another follow-up on that, the dormant seeding idea. Do you have to, the texture says, rough up the soil to dormant seed?
Nope. That's actually one of the benefits of the dormant seeding is that you're really just relying on that freeze-thaw cycle. So minimal soil disturbance. You can seed into existing thin turf areas or bare soil. It'll all work just the same.
And we did have an issue when Julie was disconnected with some technical problems. Texter wanted to know, or listener wanted to know about growing shrub. A low-growing shrub on the north side of the house.
Sure.
They're looking for 3 to 5 feet. Julie, you recommended what, a boxwood?
Yeah, so there are some good, like Chicagoland is one of the Zone 4 hardy boxwood. And also there's a good dwarf yew called Nana, Texas Cuspidata Nana. And that's a great smaller plant, creates a nice hedge. You can shear it into, you know, if you want a specific form, more of a formal look to it. And you could still probably plant now. The problem we run into now is that we could have a nice long stretch of a warmer late fall, but that's not a guarantee, is it? So we already have parts of the state that have had 20s and have had hard freezes. So I would probably just put it on my to-do list for spring. And the advantage of that is that you also have the opportunity, that plant has the opportunity to really settle in and establish its roots through the whole rest of the growing season next year.
John, this listener says, what is the best way to eradicate quackgrass?
Well, quackgrass is a creeping perennial, and a lot of times what you'll notice is it's the first one that's, it grows a little bit faster than the rest of your lawn, and it's most of the time you'll see it on boulevards or next to driveways. It is very difficult to control, probably the most difficult to control, and unfortunately there's nothing that you can spray that would selectively kill the quackgrass without harming your grass. So the best way, quite frankly, is either to live with it, or to use a non-selective herbicide like glyphosate or Roundup and kill the entire area. And generally, that's going to take a couple of applications over, you know, a few weeks to make sure it's all killed and then just start over.
Yeah.
It's probably one of the biggest grassy problems.
Yeah. The University of Minnesota actually started creating some cultivars on it from a breeding standpoint of if you can't beat them, join them. Strategy, and I don't know where that's ended up, but it's definitely a problematic weed in the landscape.
This listener says, we professionally get our ash trees treated to prevent the disease. Our neighborhood has a few ash still standing and many dead ones. How likely is it my tree will get emerald ash disease?
Oh boy, that's that. If I had a crystal ball, I might be able to predict that. I don't really know. But you're doing the right thing by treating your trees. And so, you know, we're fortunate in Minnesota to have great arborists and who are certified. So that's the best thing you can do at this point.
Okay. This listener, I know our time is limited here, but what is the best analysis, listener says, texter says, for lawn fertilizer for fall application, and can a seed germination chemical be added to it?
Good question on the seed germination chemical. The fertilizer analysis, I would recommend not using a fertilizer that has the phosphorus. So nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium are the three numbers in a row on a fertilizer label. And in Minnesota, unless you have a phosphorus-deficient soil or you're establishing a new lawn, you cannot use a phosphorus-containing fertilizer. With that said, something that is going to, especially this time of year, I would use fertilizer products that have more urea in them. They're going to be water-soluble, very quick release, and plants available. Anything else may not be taken up by the plant and may present some other issues. As far as with the germinating benefiting, I'm not familiar with that. Most of the plants really can't tell the difference between nutrients on the source of the nutrient. So, as far as the type or the makeup of the fertilizer, granular fertilizers work great. And like I said, use a dry-based urea is probably the best thing that I would be looking at for a fertilizer source this fall. A lot of winterizer fertilizers that you'll see on the store shelves, all that means is they have just a little bit more potassium, something like a 24-0-10, for example. That would be a typical winterizer fertilizer. It just means more potassium. But depending on your soil test, which I recommend everyone to have done, depending on your soil test, that added potassium in that fertilizer product may not even help.
We touch on that subject once in a while. How do our listeners get a soil test taken care of? How do we do that?
Well, they can do it themselves. It's fairly easy. All you need is just a hand trowel or a little hand shovel and just sample. Depending on your lawn size, you probably want somewhere around about 10 to 15 sub-samples. You mix all those up into a plastic bucket, and then you just put those into a Ziploc bag, and you can drop them off in the St. Paul soil testing lab, or you can mail them in. The University of Minnesota has a soil testing laboratory that'll do lawn, garden, or agricultural field soil test samples. A general analysis costs somewhere between $18 and $20 for what most people need for a single sample. And as far as timing, any time of the year works best. Any time that the ground isn't frozen, it'll be a little bit easier for you, or after a rain like what we just got. As far as the turnaround time is typically around a week or two in most cases.
Still, just about a minute to go. A quick one: can we still use weed and feed for dandelions?
You can use weed and feed products. I generally recommend against not using them because they're just not all that effective. If you already have it purchased, feel free to use it, but I would look at just selectively controlling dandelions using a spot sprayer, just using a little hand sprayer with some kind of liquid pre-mixed chemicals work best for just spot spraying as opposed to broadcasting the weed and feed product across the whole lawn.
And Julie, invite folks to get to the Arboretum and check out that new expanded Apple House and come hear the abiders.
Yeah, we're playing tonight in Buffalo at Jay's Down Under. Also, if you didn't get your question answered, be sure to visit our website at extension.umn.edu. We also have a tool on that called Ask Extension, and you can enter an email in your question to a whole slew of master gardeners who are just waiting to help you out.
Absolutely. Thank you both. Always good to hear from you, Julie and John. And we probably could have gone on for another, three, 4 days, I think, with the amount of texts we had. So we apologize to our listeners not getting to all of them. But let's do this again.
Sounds good. Thanks, Denny.
All right. Thanks, Julie. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Julie Weisenhorn and John Trappi from the University of Minnesota. Yeah, Andy Lind is coming along next hour answering those home improvement questions. Just a reminder, tomorrow morning I'll be filling in Susie Jones with a sleep doctor. We'll talk your sleep tomorrow morning in the 7 o'clock hour. 46 degrees now in the Twin Cities. Stay with us on News Talk 830 WCCO.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And a good Saturday morning to you. Get those lawn and garden questions ready for Julie Wisenhorn and our turf expert John Trappi from the University of Minnesota. Good morning to the both of you.
Hey, Denny, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Hope you are, Julie and John.
Good morning.
Good morning, John. I'm thinking, I think I heard my lawn and shrubs have a big sigh of relief. I swear I heard it. But things are really looking good, and I want to alert our listeners, Julie, as you know, John visits us from time to time. John is, again, our turf expert from the U. And if you have any kind of a lawn question, any kind of a turf question, this is your day today. Julie, of course, here to answer all the other questions as well. So, and with that in mind, we are, in fact, we're already getting busy with a bunch of text messages. So call or text 651-461-9226. Julie, I wanted to ask John something I noticed with all this rain here in our yard. I thought much of my front yard was a lost cause. And I mentioned it to my wife. I thought, you know what? This stuff has come back. I mean, this has got to be pretty tough grass.
Yeah, it's, you know, many turf grasses or most turf grasses that we grow in our lawns tend to go dormant when they're stressed, especially for drought or heat or things like that. So, you know, getting these cooler evening temperatures and then, you know, getting these really big rain gushers are great for, you know, allowing them to recover and, you know, come back from the dormancy.
It was nice, too, that the rain was pretty steady all day. It wasn't, you know, we didn't get all of it in an hour, which has been
exactly
what we've been getting in the past. No,
that was right, a perfect pace. I just want to alert our neighbors. I still have work to do. I know you don't have to remind me. But in the meantime, we accept and would welcome your phone calls if you'd like to call and chat with Julie or John. Or send a text, like some folks prefer to do, 651-461-9226. Julie, what else can we do? Maybe I should just ask you, what are you doing with your garden these days?
Well, once it dries out, I'm going to be planting bulbs. And this is a good time of year to do any kind of those spring bulbs, like tulips, daffodils, crocus, muscari. All of these great bulbs that come up early in the spring. And also looking at planting garlic. So I have a whole bunch of garlic that I'm going to be planting as well. And you just break the cloves off of the bulb of garlic, and then each of those becomes a garlic plant for next year. So you can plant up until, boy, probably after a frost even. So this is a great time to do that.
Excellent. John, I know we're going to get these questions. We already got a bunch of questions about lawns,
great.
John. But you know what? Let's do this. I see Phyllis has just called in from Star Prairie. Maybe we could find out what Phyllis has on her mind. Thanks for calling, Phyllis. What is your question?
Good morning. I have two different kinds of shrubs, plenty of them. One is the spirea type, and the other is alpine. In the fall, I've always cut my spirea down real close to the ground, and it's been successful coming back. The alpine, I've been kind of reading, and you don't cut those back in the fall?
You're talking probably about an alpine currant. Does that sound familiar? Okay. So those you do not, those are more of a foliage plant. They have some small, kind of insignificant flowers, but those are, you would just prune those as you would to shape them. So you don't necessarily cut them completely down. The only time you would is if that plant has become really overgrown or oddly shaped or something. But you really can just prune those probably in the spring before the leaves open up. You could probably do a good, just kind of a shaping of that plant.
Okay. John, here's one. Texter says, if I had my lawn aerated this past week, would this still be a good time to seed my lawn?
Yeah, that's a great question, because from a timing standpoint, I think you'd almost be better off waiting a few weeks until the soil temperatures actually get cooler, and it would effectively turn into a dormant seeding. And what that means is you're basically seeding and counting on the seed to be worked down into the soil with the freeze-thaw cycle, and it would germinate and emerge next spring, sometime in mid to late May. So it's kind of a great strategy for doing that, even if you didn't aerate or if you're just trying to improve your lawn over time. That's a really great strategy for, you know, minimal inputs, not having to work the soil or really anything. You just allow that freeze-thaw cycle and then snow and rain over the winter to get the seed down into the soil.
Yeah, that one that question has been on my mind as well. And I thought that was going to be your answer. This listener says, I planted a double knockout rose and pink aster this spring. I also have a small strawberry patch. Can I use leaves for winter mulch, or do I need to find straw, and when should mulch be put down?
Leaves are great. They're a readily available material that's on probably everybody's lawns, and you can rake those up and use those to mulch your plants, so mulching the strawberries. Around the rose, probably one of the easiest ways to do that is to actually create a fence around it. This will protect it from animal browsing, but then pack that fence full of leaves. So create that ring. I like to use hardware cloth, and I would make it a 4-foot hardware cloth ring just because we had so much snow last year. We might not this year, but I know a lot of people called in last, over the winter and later this spring with animal browsing because their fences weren't tall enough for all that snow we had. So 4 feet is a good height. It looks kind of wanky, you know, until it starts to snow. It's real tall. And then pack it full. 4 feet is a good height. It looks kind of wanky, you know, until it starts to snow. It's real tall. And then pack it full of leaves.
Okay. Texter says, John, when should we stop mowing? Well, if it rains anymore, I think we'll be doing this for a while.
Maybe. It really just depends on how much more, warmer days that we get. So I would just say mow as needed. If you are going to be mowing, I would just continue to mulch the leaf clippings and return them. And the same thing's true with the tree leaves. Just try to do that as much as possible. Save yourself some work from having to pick up leaves and just mulch them and get some fertilizer benefit from those tree leaves into your lawn. So really just try to do that as much as possible. Eventually, you know, we might get to a point where you get too many tree leaves and it's worth picking them up. But I would just mow as needed. Some folks, you know, are questioning whether or not they should lower their mowing height going into the winter. I think you can gradually lower it down, but I wouldn't lower it too much. You know, down to 2.5 inches or so would probably be just fine.
Okay.
Hey, John, I have a question for you.
Sure.
At what temperature does our grass stop growing, cold-wise, not heat?
So you can actually get a little bit of growth even down into the 40s, the high 40s. So it's really, you know, it really just kind of depends. Some cool season grasses can grow all the way down to freezing temperatures, but most of the turf grasses that we have growing, they typically start shutting down in the mid to high 40s.
So it looks like I'm looking at the weather forecasts for the next 10 days, and it looks like we're going to have 50s through the next week and a half. So our grass is technically going to still be growing, thinking about mowing?
Yeah, soil temperatures determine everything, okay. Not necessarily the air temperatures. And so far, we've had still pretty warm soil temperatures. So I suspect that it's going to be, you know, we still have another 2 weeks of growth.
Got it.
Thank you. Texter says this, then we'll take a quick break. Good morning. I'd like to winter my manavilla under a grow light. Do you think one bulb would be enough?
Depends how big that plant is. I was just looking at my friend Gary's manavilla last night or at a houseplant clinic, and it was huge. And you would need a very, you know, much larger than, you know, more than just one bulb. So you can buy different kinds of grow lights, too. You can buy large rectangular grow lights that will cover more plant material. So it really depends on how big that plant is now.
Okay. Hang on, Julie and John. We'll take a quick break. Be right back. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, this is your day, 651-461-9226. Here in the Twin Cities, we do have currently 46 degrees. We should hit about 54 today. Come to Monday, we'll hit 56. Tuesday, 61. Wednesday, near 63. Right now, 46 here on News Talk 830 WCC. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday on CCO in the 8 o'clock hour, welcoming your lawn and garden questions this morning for Julie Weisenhorn and John Trappi from the University of Minnesota. I know we have callers, we have texters, Julie and John, but we always like to mention, and for good reason, the Arboretum. What's going on, Julie, at the Arb?
Yeah, it's amazing. Well, certainly the colors are fantastic and the trees are looking beautiful. But we also have a newly expanded apple house. So if you've never visited the apple house, it's a great place to get your squash, your gourds, your pumpkins, and, of course, your University of Minnesota apples. We have the North Star food truck back again with North Star donuts, which are delicious and dangerous, also cider and coffee. And we have great scarecrow displays. And this is exciting. But it's also a bit terrifying, but the winter lights tickets are already on sale. So you can be sure to save your or reserve your tickets as soon as possible for winter lights.
Now, for those who want to get out there, maybe never been out there, you have to arrange it online, right?
That's right. Yes. You want to visit arb.umn.edu. And go ahead and put in your reservations and get the tickets for the date and time that you would like to visit. And that's the case for any visit, but be sure to get your winter lights tickets because they sell out really quickly.
And I always like to ask you when you're on, Julie, are the Abiders, you guys, playing at all anywhere?
Well, thanks for asking. I appreciate that. Yeah, so we are playing tonight at a new place for us called Jay's Down Under. It is in Buffalo, Minnesota. So we start at 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. I heard John Trappi's going to be playing bongos. Is that true?
I keep wanting to get him out to hear us, but that's a long drive for John.
You got to do it, John. They're a lot of fun to listen to. All right. Let's get back to business here. When is it okay to trim the lower branches on my blue spruce trees?
Well, you can trim those anytime. You could go ahead and do that now. And you could use those branches actually to protect some of your plants over the winter. Just lay them on top of the plants.
Okay. Let's grab a phone call. I do believe Monica is on the horn calling in this morning from Bloomington. Thanks, Monica. What is your question?
Good morning. My question is for John. We have a company, they kind of come through the neighborhood. They did construction. They cut through people's lawns. They did have a company reseed it, and they put a very lightweight mat that was intertwined with what looks to me like very fine either nylon or a plastic kind of mesh. And the grass around that, of course, is quite long now. So I'm wondering, is that going to get caught up in the lawnmower? Should we pull that, like that netting up the plastic or nylon?
That is a great question. And it would really just depend on the type of material that they used for the germination or erosion control blanket that they put down. Most of them are meant to be permanent, where they are intended to just allow the grass to grow up through, and then they just naturally break down over time. But some of them are a little bit more resilient than others and resistant to break down. So I would just say cautiously try to mow, as needed. And if you can, try to do it when it's dry. I would just basically pay attention as you're mowing and just make sure that it's not getting pulled up through it. And if it is, I would just try to let it grow out a little bit more and allow the seedlings to grow through and kind of hold in that mat a little bit better if it is starting to pull up. It might be just a little bit too early to mow.
Okay. This listener says this, can I compost black walnut tree leaves? Will the jugalone break down so I can use the compost in my garden?
I would probably say compost those leaves at a municipal compost site, only because our compost piles in our homes and on our home landscapes don't usually get hot enough to destroy things like some of our pathogens, weed seeds, and also sometimes the jugalone. So I would hesitate to use black walnut leaves on anything. I think I would bag them and haul them where they can really get heated up and break down sufficiently to a municipal site.
This listener wants to know why so few Japanese beetles this year.
Well, insects have population kind of rise and falls. And so this year it was just a more off year. I don't know, John, you and I have kind of theorized that maybe it was the two summers of pretty dry, hot conditions. And didn't make it quite as, let's say, larvae friendly.
Yeah, I wouldn't, not to be a downer or anything, but I think they're here to stay. So,
yeah.
Take it when we can get it.
Yeah, good. Just be thankful.
If you have a lawn or garden question, 651-461-9226. This texter says, is it too late in the season to spray for weeds, particularly Creeping Charlie?
Right now is actually the best time to use selective broadleaf herbicides in your lawns. And that's really just because the grasses themselves are, you know, under very little stress, and the plants, you know, the other broadleaf plants, they've used up a lot of energy flowering and growing throughout the year. Right now is generally one of the better times, especially for Creeping Charlie and Wild Violet.
Okay. Another lawn question. My lawn, the texter says, very bumpy to walk on. I heard this could be caused by earthworms. Will aeration help this, do you think?
Well, earthworms themselves are actually doing some aerating for you. I wouldn't think that they could replace lawn aeration, but bumpy lawns from earthworms, it's definitely getting to be kind of almost a nuisance, where I'm getting a lot of phone calls or emails about that. I would recommend, if you have a lawn roller that could be attached to, like if you have like a riding lawnmower, they typically fill them up with water. Those can help smooth out that surface. Otherwise, it's really just putting up with, you know, kind of the give and take with earthworms, the good and the bad with them.
I know you've addressed the timing as far as grass seed earlier in the show. This listener asks, is it too late to put grass seed down in bare spots? What do you think about just certain bare spots?
Like I said, I would probably just wait really 2 weeks or so until we get, a really good hard freeze. Generally speaking, that's around the same time that the soil temperatures are below when you're going to get some grass seed germination. But if you really want to be safe, you could wait until the first or second week of November. And then that's what I would do, just in case if we did get any germination and emergence, in the next 2 weeks or so, they might end up winter killing those seedlings. But if you dormant seed it, they won't come up until the spring, and it ends up being just as good, if not even a slightly better establishment.
Right. All right, John and Julie, hang on. We'll take a break for that forecast, and we'll be right back. We have about another half hour of the show to go here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. Good Saturday morning to you. Hello. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, answering those lawn and garden questions, Julie Weisenhorn and John Trappe, our turf expert from the University of Minnesota, 651-461-9226. That'll get you a phone call or a text question on our lawn and garden show. Speaking of phone calls, Dick is calling in this morning, I believe, from Bloomington. Dick, thank you for waiting. What is your question, please?
Yeah, thanks for your help. I have some shrubs on the north side of my house that have died off. I'm just wondering, is there anything I can plant this time of year that I could keep trimmed to about 4 to 5 feet in height to stay below the level of my windows? What would you suggest for the north side, shady side of my house?
On a north side of the shady portion of the house, even arborvitaes would work in that particular spot. Also, some rhododendrons are typically low growing. They like the northern side of locations. I think we can probably get Julie to address this question a little bit better when she gets back on. I think she may have just been disconnected. So asking the turf guy this type of question is probably out of my wheelhouse.
All right.
We'll circle back to it.
Right, we're going to get that thing, the technical end squared away here with Julie. We still have many lawn questions. Good morning, Denny and John and Julie. I need to do a lawn restoration. Is it too late to lay sod? In fact, we have two or three other questions about laying sod. And I've heard, John, that you could lay sod. People do that pretty late in the season.
Yeah, that's one of the advantages behind the sod is the fact that you already have a living plant there. So you can lay sod even below freezing soil temperatures. You're probably not going to establish very well, and you might lose some of it. But you can absolutely continue to lay sod into the early winter. It's just okay. Just understand it might
there
end up drying out.
Oh, we've got Julie back.
Welcome back, Julie.
Yep. Hello.
All right. I'm glad you're back. Should peony plants, another texter says this, be cut down in the fall, or do insects winter in them?
Well, most people like to cut the peonies down because they've got powdery mildew by now. And so you can just cut those back and throw them into your compost bin or take them to a municipal compost site. So, yeah, you can cut them back. I wouldn't worry about insects overwintering in peonies necessarily. It's usually the mulch, the leaf mulch that they want to be overwintering in.
Okay. Can I cut down my endless summer hydrangeas? Last year I had to cut out all the dead sticks in the spring, and arms took a real beating getting in there to cut dead sticks. That comes from a listener.
Yeah, I would actually wait till spring to do that, just because you can better see what branches are alive after the winter, because you might lose some of those over the winter. So just wait till spring and then do some cutting back. And I would encourage you to take a look at our website, extension.umn.edu. Under our trees and shrubs section of Yard and Garden, we have a nice video on how to prune your hydrangeas and when to prune them. So take a look at that, and that will help kind of guide you for your different kinds of hydrangeas.
I know we've had this question once in a while before, but John, this texter says, is regular grass seed all right to use for dormant seeding? What would you consider an all-around good grass seed for dormant or any kind of seeding?
Well, I think, we do have a link on, it's actually not on the Extension webpage just yet, but it's on purchasing grass seed from the University of Minnesota. If you just web search for purchasing grass seed from University of Minnesota, you'd be able to find it probably in the first link. But I think any grass seed will work with a dormant seeding. I would recommend buying pure seed, not something that's coated. I would also recommend planting if you are interested in trying to thicken up some areas. I would plant a mixture of multiple species of grass, so things like Kentucky bluegrass, tall fescue, the fine fescues. I think all of those would be great options for filling in most areas.
All right. Hey, another
John.
Phone call coming
John,
in. Brad.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Julie.
I was just going to say, how many vendors are on that list? Because that's a really handy list for people looking for good seed vendors.
On that purchasing grass seed webpage, we probably have, it's at least probably 30 or 40 different vendors within the state of Minnesota that we know that sell quality grass seed. And that can be a bit of a challenge, especially if you go to the bigger box stores. A lot of times you're buying something that is, kind of marketed towards just very generally everybody in the Midwest. And so we've selected we know of the retailers that we've put on that list that sell quality seed.
Great.
All right. Good thoughts. Brad is calling in from Wyoming, Minnesota, I do believe, this morning. Thanks, Brad. What is your question?
Yes, thanks for taking my call. Over the last few years, I got quite a large ant issue in my lawn. I've got small little ant mounds that have kind of come up during the summer the last few years, and it makes the lawn pretty rough and pretty bumpy. And when I'm mowing it, I just wonder if there's any suggestions. Or I've tried using some ant killer that I can buy at the convenience store, but it only lasts about a week or two, and then they seem to come back again. So any suggestions would be greatly appreciated.
Yeah, they're one of those issues that once you get them, they're kind of there for a long time. There are a number of insecticides that can work with that. One thing that's, a home remedy that I've seen that's worked is boiling water, is pouring that down into the, down into the colony itself. But that's probably going to be a short-lived remedy. and it might even hurt your turf. So there are a number of insecticides that can work that are effective. It really just depends on, which product and, and how it's used. Typically those are bait insecticides where, you spread them over the surface. They're designed specifically for ants, and they take them down into the colony and, they feed in the colony and then they end up, removing them. So I would look for ant-specific insecticides that are baits because those tend to work really well.
Hey, John, is there anything that, it seems to me that when I've seen ants in lawns, it's usually pretty sandy soil. Is there anything that people can do to maybe, if they start to see anthills, they can amend their soil or do anything to kind of deter them?
Not that I know of. Okay. And I think it's just more of like a sampling bias. Like you just see them where, they tend to be more of a problem in sandier soils, but I'm sure they're pretty much everywhere. Okay. It's just they get to be an issue in those sandy soils. And there's nothing that I know of from an amendment standpoint that would actually work with them.
Okay.
Okay. Texter wants to know, when can I start trimming my birch, maple, and locust trees?
Well, you can prune those now. It should be fine. Birch and maple will bleed in the spring. So if you wait till winter, you might see some sap that seeps out of the wounds. And that's a natural occurrence for those plants. So you can still prune them even later into the winter and into the late winter, too. You'll just see that sap flowing a little bit. But, yeah, you could certainly prune those now.
Okay. Doesn't say what kind of shrub or hedge, but Texter says, I have shrubs in the hedge that was here when we moved in 49 years ago.
Wow.
I've trimmed it off and on, but it's huge. Trees growing in them, in fact. Have someone coming in to cut them down with the hope they will come back in the spring. How short should they be cut down, do you think?
Some of these shrubs, depending on what kind it is, can be cut all the way down to the ground. So, again, it will. I'm glad they're bringing in a professional to do that. It can be a really big job. But also that they should know then how far down to take those plants. Take the opportunity, though, once those plants are cut down, to weed out those weed trees that they mentioned. Make sure those get out of there so that they're not going to just regrow as your shrub hedge regrows.
All right. Should the spirea be trimmed down for the winter, or is it best to leave them for trimming next spring?
It depends on what kind of spirea. So we have spirea that are spring blooming, and they will bloom on new growth. So you can go ahead and you can cut those down. You would cut those down after they bloom in the summer. So once they finished blooming, then you would trim those. If you have summer blooming spirea, you would go ahead and cut those down now. So these are spirea that bloom later in the season.
Here's an interesting question. Can a homeowner use sand on their lawn like a golf course?
So, sand can be a really great technique for if you're trying to like smooth out an area or, if you're trying to level something out, it can be pretty effective. One of the issues with that is a lot of times you might be able to get you might get some grass seed to grow up, or you might get grass to grow up through it. And, and you might get some drying out of that area. It might dry out a little bit faster. But generally, over most Minnesota soils, top dressing with a sand like that can be an effective way for smoothing it out.
All right. Tell you what, getting a signal, we need to take a quick break, but we'll be back with the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show. 651-461-9226. We need to take a quick break, but we'll be back with the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show. 651-461-9226. Our CCO temperature reading right now, 46 degrees. We hope to hit a high of about 54 today, maybe 55 with partly sunny skies tomorrow. Again on CCO, 46. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Reminder, next hour, Andy Lindis will be joining us, and we'll be answering those home improvement questions for you. Back to the text, Julie. By the way, if you're just joining us, Julie Weisenhorn and John Trappi from the U of M answering those lawn and garden questions this morning. This listener, and maybe we can address dormant seeding maybe in more depth. They tried dormant seeding last year, but the birds feasted on the seeds. Question is, should the seed be covered with something?
Yeah, you know, there's a better option would be to put down some kind of like a germination or emergence blanket, especially if it's a thin area already. You know, if you're dormant seeding into existing vegetation, a lot of times you don't need to have any kind of germination or erosion control blanket, unless it's on a really sloped site. But we generally don't have an issue with that. If you're really worried about birds or turkeys or whatever you've got in your lawn, one thing that you can do is just frost seed. And what that means is it's still the same thing as dormant seeding, but you'd be doing it in early or mid-March, right as the last snow is melting. It's going to effectively work the same way. It's just you're not getting quite as much of that freeze-thaw cycle or rain or snow that's working that seed down into the soil. But it at least restricts the amount that could be, you know, eaten up by birds and other voles and rodents.
Okay. Another follow-up on that, the dormant seeding idea. Do you have to, texture says, rough up the soil to dormant seed?
Nope. That's actually one of the benefits of the dormant seeding is that you're really just relying on that freeze-thaw cycle. So minimal soil disturbance. You can seed into existing thin turf areas or bare soil. It'll all work just the same.
And we did have an issue when Julie was disconnected with some technical problems. Texter wanted to know, or listener wanted to know about growing shrub. A low-growing shrub on the north side of the house.
Sure.
They're looking for 3 to 5 feet. Julie, you recommended what, a boxwood?
Yeah, so there are some good, like Chicagoland is one of the a Zone 4 hardy boxwood. And also there's a good dwarf yew called Nana, Texas Cuspidata Nana. And that's a great smaller plant, creates a nice hedge. You can shear it into, you know, if you want a specific form, more of a formal look to it. And you could still probably plant now. The problem we run into now is that we could have a nice long stretch of a warmer late fall, but that's not a guarantee, is it? So we already have parts of the state that have had 20s and have had hard freezes. So I would probably just put it on my to-do list for spring. And the advantage of that is that you also have the opportunity, that plant has the opportunity to really settle in and establish its roots through the whole rest of the growing season next year.
John, this listener says, what is the best way to eradicate quackgrass?
Well, quackgrass is a creeping perennial, and a lot of times what you'll notice is it's the first one that's, it grows a little bit faster than the rest of your lawn, and it's most of the time you'll see it on boulevards or next to driveways. It is very difficult to control, probably the most difficult to control, and unfortunately there's nothing that you can spray that would selectively kill the quackgrass without harming your grass. So the best way, quite frankly, is either to live with it, or to use a non-selective herbicide like glyphosate or Roundup and kill the entire area. And generally, that's going to take a couple of applications over a few weeks to make sure it's all killed and then just start over.
Yeah.
It's probably one of the biggest grassy problems.
Yeah. The University of Minnesota actually started creating some cultivars on it from a breeding standpoint of if you can't beat them, join them. Strategy, and I don't know where that's ended up, but it's definitely a problematic weed in the landscape.
This listener says, we professionally get our ash trees treated to prevent the disease. Our neighborhood has a few ash still standing and many dead ones. How likely is it my tree will get emerald ash disease?
Oh boy, that's that. If I had a crystal ball, I might be able to predict that. I don't really know. But you're doing the right thing by treating your trees. And so, you know, we're fortunate in Minnesota to have great arborists and who are certified. So that's the best thing you can do at this point.
Okay. This listener, I know our time is limited here, but what is the best analysis, listener says, texter says, for lawn fertilizer for fall application, and can a seed germination chemical be added to it?
Good question on the seed germination chemical. The fertilizer analysis, I would recommend not using a fertilizer that has the phosphorus. So nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium are the three numbers in a row on a fertilizer label. And in Minnesota, unless you have a phosphorus-deficient soil or you're establishing a new lawn, you cannot use a phosphorus-containing fertilizer. With that said, something that is going to, especially this time of year, I would use fertilizer products that have more urea in them. They're going to be water-soluble, very quick release, and plants available. Anything else may not be taken up by the plant and may present some other issues. As far as with the germinating benefiting, I'm not familiar with that. Most of the plants really can't tell the difference between nutrients on the source of the nutrient. So, as far as the type or the makeup of the fertilizer, granular fertilizers work great. And like I said, use a dry-based urea is probably the best thing that I would be looking at for a fertilizer source this fall. A lot of winterizer fertilizers that you'll see on the store shelves, all that means is they have just a little bit more potassium, something like a 24-0-10, for example. That would be a typical winterizer fertilizer. It just means more potassium. But depending on your soil test, which I recommend everyone to have done, depending on your soil test, that added potassium in that fertilizer product may not even help.
We touch on that subject once in a while. How do our listeners get a soil test taken care of? How do we do that?
Well, they can do it themselves. It's fairly easy. All you need is just a hand trowel or a little hand shovel and just sample. Depending on your lawn size, you probably want somewhere around about 10 to 15 sub-samples. You mix all those up into a plastic bucket, and then you just put those into a Ziploc bag. And you can drop them off in the St. Paul soil testing lab, or you can mail them in. The University of Minnesota has a soil testing laboratory that will do lawn, garden, or agricultural field soil test samples. A general analysis costs somewhere between $18 and $20 for what most people need for a single sample. And as far as timing, any time of the year works best. Any time that the ground isn't frozen, it would be a little bit easier for you, or after a rain like what we just got. As far as the turnaround time is typically around a week or two in most cases.
Still, just about a minute to go. A quick one: can we still use weed and feed for dandelions?
You can use weed and feed products. I generally recommend against not using them because they're just not all that effective. If you already have it purchased, feel free to use it, but I would look at just selectively controlling dandelions using a spot sprayer, just using a little hand sprayer with some kind of liquid pre-mixed chemicals work best for just spot spraying as opposed to broadcasting the weed and feed product across the whole lawn.
And Julie, invite folks to get to the Arboretum and check out that new expanded Apple House and come hear the Abiders.
Yeah, we're playing tonight in Buffalo at Jay's Down Under. Also, if you didn't get your question answered, be sure to visit our website at extension.umn.edu. We also have a tool on that called Ask Extension, and you can enter an email in your question to a whole slew of master gardeners who are just waiting to help you out.
Absolutely. Thank you both. Always good to hear from you, Julie and John. And we probably could have gone on for another, three, 4 days, I think, with the amount of texts we had. So we apologize to our listeners not getting to all of them. But let's do this again.
Sounds good. Thanks, Denny.
All right. Thanks, Julie. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Julie Weisenhorn and John Traffy from the University of Minnesota. Yeah, Andy Lind is coming along next hour answering those home improvement questions. Just a reminder, tomorrow morning I'll be filling in Susie Jones with a sleep doctor. We'll talk your sleep tomorrow morning in the 7 o'clock hour. 46 degrees now in the Twin Cities. Stay with us on News Talk 830 WCCO.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.